Aubrey Masango on 92.7 and 106 FM.
Streaming on 702.co.za, the 702 app, and DStv channel 856.
All right, before I go to Stanley, somebody says, well, what are you talking about? Okay, let me tell you, let me read you the story. The ministerial task team investigating the irregular buying of Heberon from Cuba said it needed to be determined whether any steps should be taken against those responsible for purchasing the drug. Okay? The task team briefed Parliament's Defence Committee on Wednesday on the procurement of the drug, despite it not being approved by the South African Health Products Regulatory Authority, SAHPRA. The committee has also heard how the medication will expire in April, leading to fruitless expenditure. The immune booster, Heberon, aimed at protecting soldiers from COVID-19, was bought under controversial circumstance, costing the Department of Defense 260 million rands. More than 970,000 vials were delivered at just over $15 million, right? The Auditor General also determined that the cost of the consignment was irregular expenditure, as proper processes were not followed. The country is now in a race against time to return the consignment before it expires. Task team member Dr. Cassius Lubisi said that the department should urgently return the 500,000 vials for urgent use in Cuba or face diplomatic fallout. We warned that as we give you this advice to return these, there might be some serious fallout here. If you were to consider this, please engage the Cuban government so that you mitigate, or rather you militate against this fallout. The task team, Self-Defense Minister Thandi Modise, should consider referring the report to the appropriate structures for determining whether any steps should be taken against any person mentioned in the report. All right, Bon. Here's the question. The ministerial task team investigating the irregular buying of Heberon from Cuba said it needed to be determined whether any steps should be taken against those responsible for purchasing the drug. That shouldn't be a question. That shouldn't be a question, folks. Am I crazy? I need a holiday. That shouldn't be a question. That should be a matter of course. We shouldn't be asking the question whether somebody needs to be held accountable for this mess. That thing is cracking. I'm going to weep. I swear I'm going to cry. Let me speak to Stanley Beckett. I think he's probably going to give me something good to talk about. He wants to talk about grit economics, or gritonomics, and gratitude. Hey, Stanley, good evening to you. Are you well, man?
Good evening, Aubrey. Sounding better than you. Yeah, and good evening to you and all the listeners. It sounds like you are...
I'm having a meltdown. I'm having a meltdown, Stanley. So let's talk a little bit about gritonomics and gratitude. I mean, we started this conversation about grit late last year. But it appears that it's starting to have a life of its own, this discussion around grit, huh?
Absolutely, and the more I'm learning, the more I'm picking up. And Aubrey, we're going to get into those topics now. I just want to, if you don't mind me, mention something. Last week, and I think it was a good example of grit, you know, because if you look at one of the characteristics of grit, one of the characteristics is being able to get up quickly from setbacks and move ahead. And that's why it's important to have setbacks in life. And if you remember the story we shared last week about the two women, where the one had gone through a marriage divorce and completely ruined it because she had never learned grit in that area of her life. Mm. We learn how important that is. And the reason I'm mentioning it is just two things. One's a little bit negative but good with it, and then something also positive that I'm really excited to announce tonight to you and everyone, especially regarding grit. But the first thing is, we had our webinar, if you remember, last week that we had planned.
Yeah.
But then unfortunately things happened, and we couldn't allow everybody into it. So many of
I couldn't come on.
You yourself couldn't be there.
Yeah.
And many of the people who wanted to attend couldn't attend. So what we've decided to do, and that's for everyone's attention, is awareness, is we're going to redo it again on this Friday morning from 9 o'clock to 11, and then again next week, Tuesday evening from 7 to 9 for those who can't make it in the morning. So anybody who's interested in that, it's going to be the first of our grit series for this year. So we're going to have a grit focus on specific areas, and this first one is going to be on business, because I think that's where grit needs to start for people in this country. I really believe, Aubrey, that the future of business in a big way is not going to come from big business employing people. It's going to come from small businesses that people are either doing for themselves to put food on the table or helping those around them to get employed. But for that, we're going to need grit like never before. So again, I'll mention at the end of this evening again, when you do, just where people can register for that and come and join us. It's absolutely free. And I'm very grateful to tell people you've agreed to come and join, because this is such a big topic for you as well. And your heart also in wanting to help business people, you've agreed to join us on Friday morning. So I'm inviting people to come. And then the second thing is, Aubrey, I'm very excited to announce we've started, and this is where Gritonomics come from. It's a brand new word we've developed. And we're referring to that as the scientific study, the real study into grit. But not only what grit is. I think we've gone past that point. I think we all understand what grit is. And I even think we all understand why grit is important. But as I said, we're now moving into a stage where we need to be asking how. I don't think it's good enough anymore to know what. We now need to know how. How do we develop grit? So we have a way already, but we want to study this much deeper than it's ever been done before. So what we are going to do is we're going to invite whoever from our listeners wants to develop this grit this year as well. We'll also give the details at the end of the show to join us, because we are doing a study and we're going to invite everybody who wants to develop their grit to be a part of this, to be a part of helping South Africans learn how to develop grit. So we'll mention that again, how to get a part of that. I'm just throwing it out there. But it brings us back to the question of gritability and, you know, gratitude. It's like people keep saying you have to improve your attitude. Well, we're saying you have to improve your gratitude. And why is that so important? Let's get back into that again just to start the conversation with. And, you know, doing the research, and you're right, you gave me this task last year and said, listen, we need to get grit ourselves, but we also need to teach others. So I've been doing a lot of research into it. And when you talk about grit worldwide, one of the main investigators, researchers into grit that really started the movement was a woman by the name of, is a woman by the name of Angela Duckworth. And she left her career as a teacher because she wanted to study psychology to be able to help more kids. And in her study of psychology, she started asking the question, why are some people so successful? You know, the age-old question. And other people who seem to have all the talent, who seem to have all the advantages, just don't seem to be as successful.
Yeah.
So where she started at a military a military institution in the U.S. called West Point. And apparently it's one of the toughest, it's kind of as tough as getting into the Green Berets. They were giving, for example, per year over 15,000 applicants. And to get an applicant, just to get into that school, or just to get into that academy, that military academy, you've got to have the highest marks. You've got to be top in terms of your sporting achievements. You actually can't even get recommended to that place unless someone in Congress recommends you. Now, out of those 12,000, they eventually left with something like only 5,000. And these are like the top people in the country. They left with 5,000. From that, they narrowed down to another 2,500. And eventually, only the top 1,000 get into there. And then they say, and what is interesting is that of these top, and these are like the top of the top, these are the people that if we had to use the word talent, for example, they would have all the talent. They've got the highest marks, they've got the best physical physics, they've got absolutely everything that's needed. But still, many of them, through a very intense 7-week period, would fall out and wouldn't make it, even though everything looked like they were the kind of people who would make it. And what had been happening for more than 50 years, the U.S. Army was asking the question, why is this happening? And how can we prevent people from taking people in who are going to drop out? In other words, what is the predictor for success? And that is when Angela came in what she called a grit scale. And she started measuring candidates from the first day already on a scale to determine what is grit. Now, when she did it, grit was only two characteristics. We've since discovered grit is a few more characteristics than that. But the main one, which was her first one she started with, was perseverance. And so we know that grit means having perseverance, being able to continue through tough times, but then also passion. and the two working side by side, the more passion you got, the more perseverance you got, and so it builds up. And she could actually predict from day one already which of those people were going to make it through the 7 weeks and which weren't with her grit score. And that became an extremely important study and an insight into how important grit is in life. And the tougher things become, the more challenging things become, the more we need grit. Then she took the same thing and she started studying in other fields. She went to go and look at school. And they could, in the top schools, they could predict who was going to get the top marks, who was going to succeed the highest, simply not by talent, not by background, not by any of the other things. I mean, not that those things aren't important, and don't get me wrong, I'm saying they are important, but the biggest predictor of success was grit. And this was the same in sales, this was in business, this was in every single area of life they've tested. The biggest predictor of success is grit. And then that got me to ask, and it's the same thing it did with you, Aubrey, why aren't we talking about this more? You know, is it one of those things where people say grit and then they don't think about it because they think it's not an important word, or we all know what grit is? And that's what I thought too, until I started my studies into grit, and I realized grit is so much more than what we realize it is. And it's really time that we start having these conversations as we're having on Earth there, so that everybody can understand what is grit, why is it so important, but the most important question, how do we develop grit? And that ended up being the theme and what we're going to be focusing on this year, and that's what people are going to be hearing on the show over and over again. How do we develop grit?
So I want to take a few steps back, Stanley, as to what was the reason for my focus on this faculty, this thing called grit, why I started thinking about it and perhaps then approached you to say, can we do something scientific to understand it a little bit more? First of all, I want to say that I think that the big reason why we don't talk about it so much is because it's one of those very hard, those things that are very hard to measure. It's not like a distance. It's you know, things such as attitude, things such as passion, things such as perseverance are very hard to measure because our language and our thinking hasn't yet come to the place, or hasn't sufficiently come to the place where things such as that, these very nebulous sounding concepts, have not yet become part of our culture of measurement. So we don't measure things like attitude because we haven't really stopped to think about it long and hard enough. I'm sure that there are people that are doing it. You are doing it. As you say, that this lady in the United States has been talking about it. But I think that things such as attitude, things such as passion, things such as, I think you get what I mean. Those kinds of things have not yet been a part of the mainstream measuring project to the point where we start talking about it in mainstream conversation. But I am arguing that sometimes the efficiencies of social institutions, like, for example, medical institutions, hospitals and clinics. Like, for example, educational institutions, schools and universities, have perhaps been part of the reason why we haven't had to use grit, because certain things are made available. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm simply saying that perhaps grit, the persistent perseverance to achieve certain things, has not been under the radar so much, under the microscope so much, because, you know, there are ways of institutionally getting housing. We might not be doing it very well, but generally speaking, there are ways of getting housing. You don't walk into a forest and have to start cutting down trees and finding a spot and fighting off a lion and a so the efficiencies of modern life may be responsible for us losing that faculty of grit, because we haven't had to work for certain things. We go to the supermarket. My kids didn't know, and I didn't know about this, didn't know that you've got to kill an animal in order for you to have meat. They think you just go to the butchery or to the supermarket and you just get meat. And I said to them, no, animals need to die. And I mean, it was a shock for my kids to understand that. So I suppose the reason why I started thinking about this idea of grit and then bringing it to you was to say, it appears to me that we've lost something as humanity, or losing something, or we don't have enough scenarios and contexts in which that particular faculty, grit, is to be used, is to be cultivated, is to be maintained in order to achieve other things. So, in that very long-winded way, I'm asking the question, have we perhaps determined whether or not grit is something that is being lost, whether it can be learned, and whether or not our current social settings lend themselves to learning grit, Stanley?
So yeah, that's a good loaded question. There's quite a few elements to it. Let me start from the beginning where you said, okay, and I'm going to say something to Aubrey that I've put a lot of thought into, and you're absolutely right. Let's start here first. When we're talking about things like resilience, when we're talking about courage, when we're talking about perseverance, passion, how do you measure those things? You know, and the truth is it's a very personal thing. And here's the answer from my side. Firstly, I cannot measure your passion. I cannot measure your resilience the same way you can't measure mine or someone else's.
Very subjective.
We can only do that for ourselves. Okay, so that's really important to know. So in order to measure this in people, firstly, we've got to create a system where a person can measure it for themselves. Second thing is, when measuring something like that, you cannot measure it by comparison with others. And that's a mistake we make. So when we're measuring, it sometimes becomes difficult to understand the measurement when we're not comparing. But, and I'm not saying you shouldn't be comparing, but what I'm saying is you shouldn't be comparing with others. When it comes to those things, the only person you should be comparing it to is yourself. So when it comes to measuring grit, I believe the system that's needed for that, and that's the system we've developed, is a way for you to measure yourself first, and we call that our baseline. You've got to have a baseline to work from. And then you keep comparing your results to the only person you can compare it to, which is yourself. That's how you measure. That you don't measure those things by comparing with everyone else, because there's just so many factors at play, so many things that are different, so many variables that are different in each person, that it would take probably a world full of encyclopedias just to be able to create some kind of meaningful measurement. So that's really important, is that the system is not about comparing. The system is about looking at yourself, saying, where's my current level of grit, so that I understand what does it take for me to develop. It doesn't matter anybody else. What does it take for me individually to develop grit?
Yeah.
And then onto the second part of your question, have we lost some element of grit? I believe we have. I believe that we still develop grit, and I believe we do it the hard way. And last week I said to you, there's two ways to develop grit. The easy way and the soft way, let's put it that way, and the hard way. The hard way is the way most people develop grit now in life. It's through challenges. It's through difficulties. Every time you have a difficulty and you get knocked down and you get up again, you've developed grit. You might not be consciously aware of it. And to me, developing grit that way is almost like somebody winning the lottery. You can do it once, but the chances are very slim, unless you're consciously aware of how you did it and you can control it in some way, you're probably never going to do it again. Unless you go through another hardship and another hardship. But even then, so many people just don't consciously develop grit. What if we could develop it the soft way? What if we could develop it consciously? And I believe that in the past, people knew how to do that. They were more focused on grit. They understood grit better. And I think you're right, Aubrey. We live in such a comfortable world. I look at my kids growing up, and I'm thinking, they're growing up in such a comfortable world. I'm actually doing them a disservice in many ways by not allowing them to learn how to develop grit. Mm. So if we're living in a world where developing grit isn't necessarily only possible through challenges the way it used to be in the past, then we need to find a new way to develop grit, because if we don't, then we fall behind. And that's what I think has happened to a lot of people these last 2 years. They've had many years of a luxurious life. Everything was comfortable. They were just humming along. And suddenly the last 2 years, everything changed. And how many people were caught out because they hadn't developed the grit, because they didn't have grit in certain areas of their life. And now they're paying the price. So what do we do moving forward now? We learn how to consciously develop grit. And that is what we want to do, is teach people, companies, organizations, individuals, and especially school children, how to consciously develop grit.
I want to insert this idea into the conversation and then, of course, invite our listeners to be part of this conversation, because I think we're in the process at the moment, folks, of crafting a language to describe, find, bottle, maybe, a particular virtue. We're calling it grit, yeah? And it's not just perseverance. It's not just persistence. It's not just passion. It's those virtues are part of it, but it's not just them, right? Here's what I want to suggest, Stanley, that perhaps part of the way grit was developed perhaps in the past was because people didn't have a choice. And part of the reason why our grit in modern days is stunted is because you can simply walk away from a particular hardship and expect an opportunity another day. But the grit that was developed in the past was because if you don't make shelter tonight, if you don't do it, you will not be alive tomorrow because someone's going to eat you. You know what I'm saying? So there was that motivating aspect of having to achieve a particular goal because you didn't have a choice. The idea of social determinism, socialists will be able to help us out with this idea of social determinism, where particularly in the colder countries of the global north, for example, where the idea of you've got to make hay while the sun shines was based on the idea that if we don't understand how to use time in ways that are economic, that are efficient, making sure that we store the provisions for winter, if we don't do that, it is literally a matter of life and death. And so you had to develop the grit to be able to make provisions and store things, make sure that they are storing facilities to store things and understand things that are to be stored and understand the seasonality of certain things. And in that sense, grit had to be developed because there was no choice. I suppose what I'm asking you is, could it be that the fact that we have choice, we have the efficiencies of social life that give us choice of being able to go and buy the meat tomorrow if I didn't get it today, right? And we've got refrigeration. We can put stuff in the fridge, and we've got homes. We've got systems. We've got governments. We've got – could that be that society in the modern era is losing and lost grit because we have choices? And so we have to find instances and situations in modern day life that give us the reality of not having a choice in order to once again ignite the faculty of grit.
Yeah, I would concur with that, Aubrey. Absolutely. I mean, I'm sure everybody our age has a story or can relate to this. When we talk about our parents, when I did something last year that I was really appreciative of, that I took the time to do, and I sat and I interviewed my parents, and I kind of found out a little bit about their life growing up and a little bit about their early years together, and they had it tough. You know, we look at ourselves today and we think life is tough. And I look at it again, I'm coming back to, I was sitting this week looking at my kids and thinking, these eggs don't have it tough. People before us had it tough. You know, and we always hear our parents tell stories of how they had to walk 10 kilometers in snow without shoes. And, you know, some of those stories were actually true. You know, when you hear some of these tough stories, people were tough back then. Mm. They developed grit and they got through tough times. And I feel that generally, and I'm not saying worldwide, everywhere, but I'm saying comparatively, we have it pretty easy, and we've had it pretty easy besides all the struggles this country has, besides all the things we've been through, and I'm saying generally now, people have life much easier than they used to. And I think in some ways we've lost the ability to pull that grit out of the bag when we need it. And when we do need it, like right now, so many people are stuck. How many people, again, I come back to how many people I've just met in the last 2 years that had a comfortable job, life was going along smoothly. They had their whole lives planned, the next 20 years, when they're going to retire. Suddenly, the whole carpet was just wrapped from under their feet. And how many of those people are just not able to recover because they never developed the grit in that? So they need to find a way to develop the grit again as fast as possible. Look, they're going to have to develop grit, but again, now they're doing it the hard way. Through the circumstances, they're learning to reignite that grit, because I think we all have grit in us. It's just at what level it's ignited within you. So I think people have to reignite it, but I do agree with you, and I concur, that we've lost the real conscious ability to connect with our grit and to bring our grit forth. And we only see it in really hard circumstances when we push very hard. But we're here tonight to say, it doesn't have to be that way. You can develop your grit consciously, and that's what this whole study is about. If we can see how to do that, and we can teach people how to do this in a more effective way. And that's why I'm so grateful to be a part of this and decided to make this my main area of focus now, is how do I help every person out there, every organization out there, to develop grit? Because like I keep saying, things are not going to get easier. They're just going to keep getting tougher, which means we need to keep developing our grit. But to come back to your original question, yes, I think in many ways we've lost our connection to our grit, and we need to learn how to reconnect to that again.
So give us a call at 11-883-0702-021-446-0567. Once again, I don't want to hoard Stanley Beckett. Based on our conversation tonight and perhaps conversations we've had before, what do you understand the value of grit to be? And how do we reignite it if it is either lost or being lost? Yeah. Part of what we talk about, Stanley, in our conversations is entrepreneurship. And I want to argue that entrepreneurship is nothing more than commercial grit, right? That it is the reason why entrepreneurship eludes so many people is because entrepreneurship falls outside of the realms of institutional entitlement. So let me explain what I'm saying. You know, if I've got a job, a 9-to-5 job, whether or not I am productive on a particular date, at the end of the month, I will get my salary, right? The entrepreneur, on the other hand, if he is not productive on a particular day, he is not going to get some sort of an income or a revenue coming into his business. If he is not in the way that the market understands him to be productive, he's not going to get. Again, there is that element of no choice. I have to do this or else I don't get what is due to me, right? I'm going to say something very controversial, and I know that the lines are going to go crazy once I've done that. There's a debate going on at the moment in the country about foreign nationals and jobs. Yeah? Yo, yo, yeah, it's a color match. There's a debate going on at the moment in this country about foreign nationals' jobs, whether South Africans should be put first or not. And I'm sort of wanting to argue in the context of this particular conversation that part of the reason why foreign nationals are finding jobs more readily, perhaps, than locals is because they don't have a choice, right? They don't have a choice of not getting a job and perhaps a meal later on in the evening. They've got to get the job, otherwise they die. You understand? There's the element of no choice here. You can't talk about policy. You can't talk about the minimum wage. You need to get a flipping job, otherwise you're going to die, right? Whereas for us who are locals, there is a certain level of choice at some level that perhaps stunts our gratitude. And so I'm coming back to this issue of choice, that perhaps part of the reason why grit occurs in certain environments is because there's no choice here. I simply don't have a choice. I don't choose to have grit or not to have grit. I either get grit or I'm going to die. Talk to me about that, Stanley. Oh, by the way, give me a call. I know I've just touched on something. 011-883-0702-021-446-0567. Grit. What is the value of it? How do we find it? What are the circumstances that create gritonomics and grititude? What? Grititude? Stanley, I don't know how to say these words that you come up with. But give me a call. I'd love to hear from you. Stanley, your thoughts?
I'm going to tell you something, and I'm going to tell you why I agree with it. And being a business person myself, Aubrey, I am going to hire, when it comes to my business, the person who can do the job the best and the person who works the hardest to get the job done. Now, let me tell you what according to the study by Angela Duckworth also, and according to what she says, really needs to be taken notice of here. She says grit is twice as important as talent. Okay, now, I'm going to tell you, talent can be interpreted in many different ways. So don't just take talented as being talented as something, it's many different things. But the first thing she says, she gives two formulas. And the first formula she gives is talent multiplied by grit equals skill. So in other words, the more talent you have, the less grit you need to be able to achieve something. Obviously, the other way around as well. The less talent you have, the more grit you need. Now, the problem with in this country with many people, this isn't everybody, but this is one of the problems I'm going to address about what you're talking about, is that talent can be akin to going and getting that degree, becoming, as you always say, education. What do you say? No, I'm just taking with your words, educationalized or something. Right?
Credentialized.
Credentialized. You've got an education. You've got the talent. But it doesn't mean you can do the job yet. In other words, you don't have the skill yet.
You don't have the competence.
That's it. You got that? Yeah. To her, that was like talent. So in other words, there's many people who believe they've got the papers, so I don't have to have as much grit. So they don't learn and they don't strengthen their grit. They rely on their credentials. They rely on their talents. So they've got the skill, right? They don't have to. And here's the problem: they don't have to put as much effort into to get the same skill as somebody who didn't go and study. Someone who didn't start and didn't have all the advantage, that person, that second person has to develop grit. That person has to make up for their lack in talent by grit. So then you get to the skill. So now you get two people who basically have the same skill. But now she says that's not enough. Then you get to the second equation. She says skill multiplied by grit again. So we bring grit in again. Skill multiplied by grit equals accomplishment. So what she's saying there is that your first level of grit is overcoming the barriers that many people have. I can't go and study. I'm not a national in this country. I don't have the same advantages. So they've got to develop grit to find a way past that. But now the thing is, when they get to the second part, they've already developed that grit. That grit is already strong in them. Mm. In other words, they've got the same skill set, but their grit is that much higher. And that is why they accomplish so much more. So if you take a look at that, then you can start understanding why it is the people that don't have all the advantages in life, that don't have all the degrees, that don't have all these things, that actually seem to be the better worker, because they need to compensate for that through grit, which they developed by getting on par with the people on the same level of skill before we went to the next level.
Yeah.
And that in itself is very interesting and also speaks loads about why so many people in this country prefer to hire foreign nationals, because they've got that grit, they've got that hard work, they get the job done, they accomplish so much more. And I think that that in itself, as we go through this year and as we do our study, is going to be an interesting study to see why, what is it in these people that seem to be more attractive to people who employ it. And instead of getting upset with the system, learn how to work with the system and ask yourself, is it that I'm relying too much on my credentials, the fact that I've got this experience, whatever it might be,
yep.
and I've no longer yep. putting the grit in,
yep.
or do I need to start adding the grit again?
Yeah, yeah. Whoo, okay, let's take some calls. Ian is in Cape Town. Hi, Ian.
Hi, how are you doing?
Very good, thanks.
I'm very, very happy you're taking my call. Okay.
Thank you so much for making the call.
Yeah, I'm 70-something. I'm actually retired, but I just came up to my office, my personal office, just to do a couple of things for some little businesses that I've started. Okay, motivated.
Yeah.
I'm not an educated person, but I worked for a big corporation. I'm an artisan. In fact, I've got standard 7. And I started a business, and it was very successful, made a good living for myself over 40 years. Now, I've got a little bit of an issue with what I've heard here. I employed people virtually. African people, so-called colored people, whatever the case might be. My employees, 17 of my employees were with me in excess of 30 years. And the longest serving, started a business of 40 years, 40 years, well, it's now 44 years, but for 40 years I had the business, and my longest serving employee was for 38 years. A couple of them have retired. Every single one of those employees have all moved on into other businesses, and they are doing extremely well. Those are South African guys. Now, I've started a little business. I employ 3 ladies. One is a Khoisa lady, one is a Tsonga lady, and one is a lady from Zimbabwe. And they're doing incredibly well. That's all I can say. So it's very difficult to differentiate. I think what we need is to have the employer develop his relationship and pay the people and motivate them. I can say that every single person that I've obviously during the course of 40 years, you have...
Ian, sorry, what's this got to do with grit?
Well, I didn't fully get with grit, but I think what I'm hearing is that what I heard at the end of it is that you've got trying to say that there are people who work harder. I think they work harder from outside of South Africa because they are desperate. But don't write off our people.
Yeah, no. And again, that's why I think that it's a mishearing of what I was saying, and that's why it's important. That's why it's important to hear the whole conversation in order to be able to get it. So to get
at this point in time, I'm employing 2 Malawians and 1 Zimbabwean, and I'm employing them outside of the other little business I've started. They haven't. Their documentation is dodgy, to say the least. But they're amazing people, and that doesn't mean to say they are. When I say I'm employing them, I'm not employing them.
Okay, Ian.
I'm giving them opportunity to make a living.
I think you're making this about you. We're talking about grit. right?
Yes.
So that's why it's important to have heard the whole conversation and not to pick one issue out of the whole thing, because you'll make the mistake you're making right now. But I think it's very important that you raise this, because it could be sounding as though I am saying that people who are outside of South Africa have more grit naturally than South Africans. Martin Coleman, wow. Martin Coleman says, but Orbs, that's slightly unfair, picking up on what you're saying. There was a time when South Africans didn't have a choice but to fight for the choices we have today. Don't you think we deserve to enjoy these choices? Both of you are actually making my point that perhaps grit has something to do with a situation where you don't have a choice. So, for example, the people that worked for you that had the long service for 30 years perhaps lived in a South Africa at the time where they didn't have many choices.
Oh, it was terrible.
Right. So the point that I'm trying to make is that perhaps part of the grit that they developed to be able to be to have the longevity in your company that they had is because there were no other choices for them. I'm making the
same. I hear you, but maybe there's something else I would just like to throw out there. Okay. If I was blind, it would be irrelevant to who I was talking to, but every person that we speak to, okay, it's for me, and as I say, I'm reaching my twilight years, but every person we speak to, every person we address, we treat them, and it doesn't matter if it's the guy who's begging or whatever the case might be. The circumstances are out there. There are people with so much inside of them, and we've got to treat and acknowledge them.
Sure, but remember, Ian,
respect for them.
This is not about respect.
That's all it is. I'm not a religious guy.
But Ian, hold on. You're making it about something else here. Remember, we're talking about grit, and we're trying to understand what are the variables that create it. What are the reasons why grit occurs, right? We're not trying to have a moral conversations about the virtues of people. No, that's not the conversation here. The conversation here is what are the reasons why grit occurs in society? You have made the very important point that you have 30 people that worked for you that worked for an excess of 30 years.
No, this is not about me.
Precisely. And it's not about personalities. What I'm trying to establish here is what are the finer reasons why grit actually occurs. And I'm zooming in on the possibility that sometimes perhaps grit happens because people don't have a choice but to hunker down and do what needs to be done. And I'm making the example. And you've helped me to get the example that says, perhaps the people that worked for you for all of those years, perhaps they worked for you for all of those years, developed the grit because there was no other choice. And I'm arguing that perhaps the reason why we see the grit, perhaps, if indeed it is grit, in the debate, in the current debate that's taking place, is because those people don't have any other choice. Yeah? Let me quickly go back to Stanley Beckett. Stanley?
Yeah, well, I think you said it well, and I'm thankful for the call. I know we don't have much time, so I'm just going to say I agree. And I hope people understand, we weren't saying that South Africans are bad workers or don't. We were just saying exactly like you said. Sometimes those people who come here with no other choice are forced to develop that grit, and because they're developing that grit, they seem to achieve more because that grit is already installed in them. But the good news is we can all install it in ourselves. So I'm hoping that point is made clear.
I knew that it would do this, because I know that whenever issues like these are raised, people forget about the issue that we're talking about, and then it takes on a life of its own. And that's great. That's fine. I don't mind the issue, and we'll talk about it in the next hour. Stanley, you have another webinar on Friday. Quickly tell me how people can access it.
I'll make it quick for everybody. For those who want to join us on Friday, please go to our website, changecreatorsa.com. Go to changecreatorsa.com. You will see a thing will pop up. Just register. Come and join us. Come and learn how to develop these things. And then finally, for those who want to be part of this worldwide study on grit and want to be a test subject, it's going to be require very little from you. It's free. Go to our website. At the bottom, you'll find where you can leave your details. Leave a message to say you want to be part of this program. You'll get a free copy of the book, Liftoff. Or you can email us at research@changecreatorsa.com. So it's research@changecreatorsa.com, or go to our changecreatorsa.com website, enter, and next week I'll let you know how people are starting to enter and how it's going. So, yeah, we're looking forward to it. Thank you, Aubrey.
Stanley Becker, thanks very much for your call.